morning. It's good to see everybody out and about this morning. For our visitors, I like to point out when I'm doing preaching that we do not have a full-time preacher, so we take turns. You pulled the short straw, you got me this morning, so but hopefully you'll get something good out of this. Much like Dennis, my thought for my idea for the sermon came from what Brian did on his lessons from Lot. I originally was going to talk about lessons from Joseph, but I started studying it, thinking about it, and I decided to change the title, but it still kind of follows that same path. But from child to adult. And in the scripture reading this morning that Harrison did, thank you for that, Harrison, I tried to have him down for announcements, and he wasn't going for that. So, but I do appreciate him doing the scripture reading. Verse 11 from chapter 1 Corinthians 13, and it says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways." Now, the scripture is specifically talking about the fact that there's been a change in how man interacts with God. And the old way was not the complete way, but we have now moved to the new covenant and now understand what God really has in store for man. And so that's what the scripture is specifically talking about, but it has a theme to it. And that theme is that we do progress as we go through life. We start out as children, and hopefully we grow and we mature and we become adults. And in looking at the life of Joseph, I thought there were some really great lessons that come from watching how Joseph goes from being a child to being a mature adult. And I thought there were some lessons about the path that it took for him to get there. So that's really what our sermon is going to be about this morning. We're going to start off in Genesis chapter 37. So we're going to pull a lot of scriptures out of Genesis, chapters 37 through 50. A lot of the story of Joseph will be from those passages. And then we'll try to make some application of these things in our lives. So young Joseph, let's talk about a young Joseph. If you remember the story of Joseph, Joseph was the eldest son of Rachel, who Jacob just adored, right? And so because he was her firstborn, he became dad's favorite, to the point of dad gave him a coat of many colors. We remember that story as a young kid. If you went to church as a young kid, you'd be back there and they'd give you a paper and you would color a colorful robe for Joseph. That was our introduction to Joseph, right? So he was a young man. He's already daddy's favorite. Well, that caused Joseph some problems. So we're introduced to him in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 2. So if you want to go to that, Genesis 37 and verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brother. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. So right from the start, we're told that Joseph is 17 years old and he would be what we would call a tattletale. Okay? And it causes him some problems. But if you think about what just happened there, it shows the immaturity of Joseph. Shows the immaturity of Joseph. He didn't go to his brothers and try to help them to figure out what they were doing wrong, help them to make some changes in their life, point out to them things that were going to cause them problems down the road. He just went squealing to dad. Okay? And there's consequences for that. One of which, though, and this is the one that's important to us, is usually if you just tattle on someone, you don't cause them to change their behavior. You just make them angry, okay? And so Joseph's not doing anything to help his brothers. He's just trying to get them in trouble. Well, we're told in Galatians 1 and verse 4, that's supposed to be a colon there. Galatians 1 and verse 4, Well, I'm off to a bad start, because that's not the right verse. Let's see here. Well, I've made a mistake. I don't know where that's supposed to be. But the concept of the verse that I was aiming for was that we're supposed to be kind in everything we say. I'm trying to figure out where I was supposed to be. I do not see it. Yep. I'm sorry. I'll have to look that up, but I have messed that up. But the concept of it was that we're supposed to be kind in dealing with others. That's how we're supposed to. We're not supposed to be about trying to get others in trouble. We're supposed to be kind. And kindness means that you're trying to help. You're trying to assist others. You're trying to help them to do better. And that's what we should be doing. And Joseph needed to learn that lesson. Being a tattletale was not going to be helpful, which was the next point here. You go on to Genesis 37 and verse 4, it tells us that his brothers didn't think too highly of him. It says, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. So he destroyed his relationship with his brothers. He and his dad. His dad was part of the problem by showing him favoritism. But his reaction, his tattling, his doing these things caused him to have a very poor relationship with his father. There's a lesson there for us as Christians. We have to be careful. How are we going to help anybody if we have a poor relationship with them? If they don't want to listen to us, they don't want to talk to us. We've got to find a way to be kind in our dealing with others. We have to tell the truth. We have to teach them the truth. But we can do it in a kind and a nice way. In a way that causes them to stop and to think and to consider. Joseph hadn't learned that yet. And therefore, it caused him some problems. So we go on a little bit further, and he brags to his brothers that he's had dreams where they bow down to him. Well, that's going to go over big too, right? Little brother, daddy's favorite, and now you're going to tell me that we're all going to bow down to you. Yep, he's going to be the favorite brother that way, right? They didn't like it. They didn't like it. What does that show? Well, Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Doesn't that sound like a lot of pride? You're going to bow down to me. Well, how did it turn out for Joseph? His brother sold him into slavery. Okay. Didn't work out well. Genesis 37, 18 through 22. First they were going to kill him. Remember the story. They made a plot. They were going to kill him. And one of his brothers spares him long enough that he's trying to figure out a way to get him out of there. And while he's trying to do that, somebody comes by and they says, you know what, rather than kill him, let's just sell him. We'll make some money off of him. So they sell him into slavery. Well, if you think about it, a haughty spirit before a fall. Sure, we're going to bow down to you. Bye. See you later. We're going to sell you off. You're going to disappear. We're not going to bow down to you. They wanted to get rid of him. They had no compassion for him, no desire to hear from him, never gave it a second thought. Why? Because he had destroyed his relationship with them. We as Christians can do that. Think about what he stated. He told them that they were going to bow. He had dreams where they were going to bow down before him. Were those true? He didn't speak anything that wasn't true, did he? But it was how he presented it. He was like he was bragging. He's like, you are going to bow down to me. I'm going to be better than you. It was the truth. But his presentation is what caused the problem. There are Christians who will say, well, I just spoke the truth. But they say it in a nasty, mean, degrading way. Does that accomplish anything good? No. Just does what? It creates that barrier, just like Joseph had with his brothers. They stop listening, they stop caring, They turn against what was the truth. They turned against it. We have to be very careful not to do that. That is part of maturing. We have to find ways to present the truth in such a way as to cause people to want to listen to it. Part of maturing. Joseph's not there yet and gets sold into captivity. Our interaction with others should be gracious, seasoned with salt. Let's see if I managed to get this one right. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Have you ever thought about the portion there where it says seasoned with salt? How do you season your speech with salt? Anybody ever have to eat things as a kid, even maybe as an adult, but more as a kid, that you just really didn't like? You know, mine had most vegetables were not my favorite thing, okay? But certain ones of them, if I slathered them up with enough seasonings of some sort, salt, butter, cheese, buried them in enough stuff, I could manage to get them down, right? They made them so that I could swallow them. Ever have anything like that as a kid? Where you tried to cover up what it was so that you could actually swallow it? Medicines were the other thing, right? I can remember as a kid that amoxicillin, they used to give you this amoxicillin stuff, and it didn't have all the flavors then. It was just this pink, nasty, horrible tasting stuff that would just about turn your stomach inside out. So mom would try to hide it and stuff. She'd put it in milk, chocolate milk or something to try to make it so that it would pass the palate and be able to be swallowed, right? The idea here is that we need to look for ways to make the words we're trying to speak be able to be taken in by somebody. They're hard things. You're talking about difficult subjects, but you can make them so that they're not quite so offensive. That's something we've got to work to do. You can't just blurt things out. You can't just attack somebody or make it appear that you're attacking somebody, tell them the truth, because you're just going to cause them to run away. Work on seasoning our discussions with salt. And we need to remember, if you go to Ephesians 4, verse 29, that everything that comes out of our mouth is supposed to accomplish something. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear it. Whatever comes out of our mouth needs to build someone up. It needs to make them stronger spiritually. Doesn't mean they have to like it. Doesn't mean that it has to make them feel good. But it has to cause them to stop, to think, and to grow because of it. That's the goal of it. It's not meant to blast somebody, to knock them down. It's not the intent. The intent is to cause something good to come out. And that's what we need to remember. It is so. One of my pet peeves is people who use the comment, they'll say something nasty, and I'm just saying. Well, yes, you're just saying. But it was just nasty, it was just mean, and it was inappropriate. Right? We can't just say it. We need to think very carefully about the words that come out of our mouth. Think about how you can present something in a way that it's going to be listened to and acted upon. Because that's the goal. Joseph hadn't gotten there yet. Joseph had some real problems with his people skills. And it caused him to be sold into slavery. We should want to work to encourage each other and build each other up. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. That's what the end result of our interactions with each other is to be. Not winning the argument, not putting somebody down, not showing how smart we are. It's all about building up. Building one another up, encouraging one another. That's what we're supposed to be doing here this morning. Encouraging one another, helping each other. Joseph didn't get that. And it caused him a lot of trouble. So, He ends up, if you remember the next part of the story, in some bad situations. So he gets sold to these people, he goes down the road, and he ends up being sold to the governor of Egypt, Potiphar, as a servant. Think about that. He went from daddy's favorite to a servant. You ever wondered why that happened to Joseph? We often talk about the story and we focus on the end result. The end result was all of this happened so that Joseph could save his family, right? But there's lots of ways God could have done that. But he chose ways that taught Joseph some lessons. At least I believe he did. And one of the first ones that he gets taught is he ended up becoming a servant. So instead of having a prideful, haughty heart, he finds out what it means to serve others. Think about that for a moment. That's a lesson that we have to learn as children, right? As children, we all are selfish. Little babies do not think about whether or not mom and dad have gotten enough sleep in the last few nights. That's really not high on their list. I'm hungry, I'm wet, and I want you to know about it. And I want it fixed now. That's a young child, right? They don't think about others. They have to learn that. That's a process. Joseph's 17 years old and he hasn't got it yet. So God's going to help him along a little bit. He becomes a servant. Well, think about it. Go over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 42. And Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Being a Christian means we have to be servants. But that takes some growing up, some learning. For Joseph, it's a hard lesson. He goes from being daddy's favorite to just being a slave, to being a servant. But all of that was God's way of teaching Joseph the lesson he needed to learn. Because in order to accomplish what God's end goal was, Joseph was going to have to be a servant to all. He was going to have to take care of other people. He was going to have to care for them. He didn't have that. All he thought about was Joseph. So he needed to learn something, and God gives him an opportunity to do it. The other thing he learned was, sometimes you got to suffer for doing the right thing. If you go to Genesis 39 and verse 20, you would find the story of Potiphar's wife. Remember the story of Potiphar's wife? Potiphar's wife thinks Joseph's kind of a cute little guy. So she tries to seduce him. And being a good guy, he doesn't fall for it. Well, she didn't take kindly to his not giving in to her advances. So she screams that he's attacking her. And next thing you know, what happens to poor Joseph? He ends up in prison. Did he do anything wrong? He did the right thing, didn't he? He didn't commit adultery with her. He didn't allow her to seduce him. He didn't do any of those things. He did the right things, but he ended up suffering for doing the right thing. Most of the people here that attend here regularly know my grandson, Charlie. Charlie has this real thing about fair. Things are supposed to be fair, and he gets his shorts all in a wad when things aren't fair. Okay, gets him in a lot of trouble at school because somebody will do something and Charlie will say that's not fair, and he just won't let it go. Okay, Charlie has not learned the concept yet that life is not always fair. Sometimes you do the right thing, but the consequences aren't what you want them to be. Well, think about Joseph's life up to this point. Daddy's favorite child. anything he does, Daddy thinks he's wonderful. Well, now he's in a world where what? Daddy's not there to take care of him. Something bad happens, and he ends up suffering for doing the right thing. Does that seem fair?
Nope.
But is that life? Yep, unfortunately it is. That's why we are told in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 Peter 3 verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear then, nor be troubled. He had to learn that even though you didn't get what you wanted, you still did the right thing. And that is the goal of life. That's what we as Christians are to do. Do the right thing. We've got to recognize that we may not get rewarded for it in this life, but there will be a reward come the day of judgment, right? But that's a hard, hard lesson to learn. Joseph's learning it the hard way. He's now in prison. But it gets even worse for poor Joseph. So if you go on in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 23, you remember the story of the baker and the chef. These two gentlemen make Pharaoh very unhappy. They get thrown in the prison, and they have these dreams. And they can't figure out what the dreams are about. So Joseph tells them the dreams. He tells the one that you're going to be restored to your place, and he tells the other one, you're not going back. You're going to be put to death. And exactly what he said was going to happen, happened. Well, the one who was going to be restored said, I'm going to remember you. I'm going to remember that you spoke good for me and that it came true, and I'll help you out. So Joseph gets his hopes up. He thinks, I did something good for someone, they're going to do something good for me. Did anybody remember what happened? The person forgot it. Joseph's still in prison, and he's sitting there every day waiting for something good to happen because he helped somebody out, and nothing's happening. He's just getting another day older. Well, Joseph is learning a lesson here, because what would we typically do if somebody didn't treat us well? We'd want something bad to happen to them. We'd be sitting there going, man, maybe Pharaoh put the wrong guy to death. Maybe it should have been you. Or maybe, well, you're going to get yours. You did this to me, you're going to get yours. But we're told in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 31, let's go over there, Luke 6, 27 to 31. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes from you your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. This was kind of the ultimate lesson, if you think about it, for Joseph. Basically, the concept is you need to learn to do to others as you would want them to do to you. Do you think Joseph would have wanted his brothers to tattle on him? Do you think Joseph would have wanted to have his brothers crowing that you're going to worship me, you're going to bow down to me? Think he would have liked that? He's learning a lesson, and he's learning it a very, very hard way. But you know what? There's a reason why Joseph had to deal with these things. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Trials are good for us. Now, if you'd asked Joseph if the trials he was going through were good for him, I doubt that he'd have thought that they were really a good thing. But as we're going to see, Joseph grows up a lot as he deals with these things. He matures as a person. He becomes a better person because of them. We all suffer trials and tribulations, but we don't stop to think that maybe an all-knowing God, a God who is in control of all things, is giving us an opportunity to grow. He's helping us learn what we need to be versus what we are. Again, there's an end game here, right? God wants Joseph in place to be able to save his family so that they become a great nation. But God could have done that any way God wanted to do it. He's using Joseph and he's teaching Joseph along the way. These trials are actually in Joseph's best interest. As I said before, I doubt that Joseph would have agreed with that. But do we ever agree that our trials are good for us? Has anybody ever said, man, I'm glad I went through that tough time. That was really good for me. We typically whine and complain about it, don't we? But there's something to be learned. We've got to look for it. And we need to remember something else. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through, or verse 13. So 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. But we will not boast beyond limits. I think I did it. Oh, I'm in 2 Corinthians. That's part of the problem. It's got to be in the right book. So now faith, hope, and... No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. The basic concept of that verse is that God will never give us more than we can handle. No trial we're given will be more than we can deal with. You make sure of that. We have a great example of that in the book of Job. God always limited what Satan could do. He never made something that was more than Job could handle. Now, was it pleasant for Job? No. But you know, if you look back through the book of Job and you think about it, God was doing Job a favor as well. Job was a good guy. Unfortunately, Job thought he was a good guy. He thought he was doing good. He thought he was so good that he should be able to ask God questions, question why God did certain things. And God finally let him know, Job, you have no right to question what I do because you're not me. So Job learned a lesson through his trials and his tribulations. Joseph learned in his trials and tribulations, but none of them were above what Joseph was able to withstand, overcome. So he gets through all these trials and tribulations, and what do we come to? Mature Joseph. Turn over to Genesis chapter 41 and verse 16, if you would, please. Genesis 41 and verse 16. Joseph has been in this prison. He's been forgotten. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, the servant of Pharaoh goes, I remember him, because Pharaoh had a problem. He had a dream he couldn't interpret. And they made this person that Joseph had helped remember Joseph. And he goes to Pharaoh and he says, I've got the person that can help you with your problem. And so Joseph gets pulled out of the prison, gets cleaned up, sent before Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh says, I've been told that you can answer a dream. Now, the immature Joseph would have said, yes, I can. I've done it before, I can do it again. A mature Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. The pride is all gone from Joseph now. Instead of trying to take credit for the ability to interpret dreams, he says, no, it's not me. God will give you the answer. Look at the maturity that has happened in Joseph. those trials, those tribulations have led him to a place where he now recognizes that all blessings come from God. That's what a mature person, a mature Christian should do, is recognize all blessings come from God. James 1, verse 17. James 1, 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. All blessings come from God. Immature thinks that we're responsible for our successes, for the good things that happen in our lives. A mature Christian recognizes all those blessings come from God. Joseph's gotten there. Joseph has matured. You know, we need to remember that we should give thanks for all things. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for everything. The reason you give thanks for everything is because that's where it all came from. It all comes from God. And we should be thankful for God for everything that we're given. An immature Joseph would have still been angry about the way things had gone, the way he'd been treated. Mature Joseph has realized God has taken care of me. If you read through those passages in Genesis, you'll find that it's mentioned more than once that despite all the trials and tribulations, God always made things turn out well for Joseph. It all worked out. Those blessings came from God. And Joseph finally starts to realize that. We need to make sure that we mature to the point that we realize that all blessings come from God. Go back over to Genesis chapter 45 and verse 5. Joseph is now interacting with his brothers. His brothers have come because of the famine. They're working to buy food. And so they finally recognize who Joseph is, and they're apologizing. They're scared. They recognize what they had done in the past was wrong. And he tells them, "Do not now be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Joseph now recognizes that these aren't random things that happen in life. God has plans and controls all things. We've spent a lot of time lately with our Wednesday night studies on the minor prophets and now starting in Deuteronomy. And one of the big lessons that God has always been trying to teach people is, I'm in control. Things do not just happen randomly. They happen because God allows them to happen. God has a purpose. God has a plan. Do you remember that? Esther was told, you know what? You don't know that you're not here for a very specific reason, but whatever God wants to accomplish, if you don't do what he wants, he'll find somebody else to do it. He will make his plans come to fruition. Mm-hmm. Joseph has now recognized that. All these things that happened to me, there's a reason behind them. The reason is God has a plan. God is in control. You know, we need to remember that God will exalt us in due time if we're faithful. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Humble yourselves. Recognize you're not the one in control. It's not all about you. God has plans. God has a purpose. And if you'll stay with him and do the right things, he will, in the day of judgment, exalt you. And then Romans 8, 28. This is the one that we need to remember. Romans 8, 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good for those who love God. Doesn't mean that everything is immediately the way we want it to be. Doesn't mean that everything is immediately pleasant. I call it the Amazon effect. We expect everything to happen instantly. Joseph spent many years dealing with trials and tribulations, difficulties, learning these lessons. But ultimately, it all worked out for the good. Didn't happen immediately, but it eventually did. We need to remember that. We need to remember that we need to be patient. We need to wait for God's purpose to come to the right time. And you know what? He eventually showed kindness to his brothers rather than judging them. You go to Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph recognized that his brothers didn't do something that was nice, but they did something that was part of what God's plan was, that ultimately helped him to be in the right place at the right time to save the lives of many. And rather than saying, "I'll never forgive you, I'll never forget what you did," he says, "Thus, do not fear, I will provide for you, I will take care of you. I'm not going to turn you away, I'm not going to wish you harm, I'm going to take care of you." That's a mature attitude. Mature behavior. That's not what Joseph would have done when he was 17 years old. But he had learned. He had learned to trust in God. He had learned that God has a plan, that God is in control, and therefore it made it very easy for him to forgive his brothers and to go on about doing what it was that God expected him to do. It's a reminder that God is the only judge. We don't really judge. We can question whether someone's doing the right thing, but we cannot say what God's response to something is going to be. We're not God. God is the judge. We should wish the best for everybody. We should do our best to help others, to take care of others, to be kind to them. We need to be compassionate. So let's close this off with a reminder. A reminder that you don't grow and mature just because you got old. I'm sure all of us have run across somebody who's older, who still behaves very much like a child. They've never matured. They've never gotten stronger. They've never gotten better at anything. They've just older versions of a young self. We're told in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence," here's the part I want you to look at, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work. That's the key word, work. It doesn't just happen. You've got to put some effort into it. You're going to have to work through some trials, some tribulations, some difficulties. You've got to work at it. You've got to put effort into it. And the question that each one of us needs to answer this morning, are we putting the appropriate amount of effort into maturing as Christians? Are we better now than we were? Are we getting to the point where we are a mature Christian who behaves and reacts in an appropriate manner? Joseph went through some difficult times, but he learned from them, he grew from them, he became a better person. That's the goal. That's what each one of us needs to do. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to do that. You need to obey the gospel. You can't begin the journey of a Christian until you become a Christian. But as Christians, it's not just as soon as you're baptized, it's all done. It's all taken care of. We start out as babes. We've got to grow into adults. Are you growing? Are you better today than you were yesterday? Think about that. The trials and tribulations that you live with in life, are you learning anything from them? Or do you continue to do the same things over and over and over again? We've got to get better. We've got to get stronger. We've got to mature. If that hasn't been the way your life has gone and you need the prayers of the saints, now's the time to ask for that. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we'd ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.